Else help. I better be raising up on a cross. Tell you what, I don't need to be up here. Forget what I want. I don't need to be up here. Y'all don't need to hear me. You didn't come to hear me. I don't want you to hear me. You know, and I want you to hear the Lord. I want to hear the Lord from you. I mean, that's it. We're here to hear the voice of the Lord. We're here to seek Jesus. We're here to hear from God, you know, and I don't feel adequate to be his mouthpiece, but who is? Really, who's adequate to be the voice of God? You know, this is by grace. Every, whether it be preaching, teaching, just being a member of the body of Christ, man, it's wrapped up in grace, not about what we deserve or who we are or what we have to offer or any of that. All those things, they end at the cross, and they have to. And you know, I haven't been in this for years, so I got a lot of the Lord to get and a long way to go. And the cross is, there's a lot of road ahead of me on a straight and narrow, you know. And anyway, Randy asked me to share about the school a little bit. I came here right after I graduated high school, like the next month after. And I wasn't following the Lord then, but I had seen something real in Kelly. You know, I saw life in her. And people are drawn to life, you know. And in this, you know, Christ has life. Well, if it grows, it's going to be by life, man, because the cross is... The flesh isn't attracted to the cross. You know, mega churches are full because they appeal to the flesh, a lot of them. Cross doesn't do that. You know, people were added to the first church in Jerusalem because of the death that those people were going through, because of the death of Jesus, but because of the tremendous release of life through the apostles and just the body and how they were given to Christ at that time. And like Doug said, for this to really spread over America or wherever, it's going to take people who are willing to give their lives to this, you know. And I believe that's not just, well, I'm willing to travel anywhere, Lord, that you send me and give my life to this and be a minister. I believe give our lives to it, meaning that, Lord, I'm willing to die to myself. I'm willing to embrace your cross, that life might be released, you know. That's how this gets spread. That's how the world gets turned upside down. Christ, by his resurrection life, it's the power of God. It is the power of God, not our wisdom of words, not us learning this message and not me going to Acts for 3 years and getting all my doctrines right and bringing a chalkboard up here and drawing it all out and marking it all out in the Word and being able to, not all that, life, life. God's after life. God's not after our doctrine. He is after life because it's Christ. Life in God's economy is Christ and nothing else. He, in him was life. In him is life. And that's the life that lights men. When God created the heavens and the earth, it's like he looked at the sea and said, it's missing something. Life. Fill it with life. He looked at the sky and said, of me, we can have things that are of God, but they must be filled with life. Fill the sky with life. Fill the land with life. He filled the creation with life. He's filled the new creation with life, but, you know, it is true in the heavens. We can't, nothing that we experience isn't going to add anything to the cross or to the finished work or we can't add any fruit to the fruit of the Lamb and what his death has brought forth. Anything that's brought forth out of us that's true fruit goes back directly to his cross. You know? And it's that life that's God's wanting to increase through all this. Whatever this is, God's mind is towards life. More life. An increase of life. But that life isn't without a death. And it was a death of Jesus, but precious in the Lord is the dying of his saints. There's a death that has to happen in us for the increase of life. Because though we're saved and though the cross has made us new creations in Christ Jesus, do we live by that? You know, though Christ Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in the heavens." It is in the heavens. You know, Christ is seated in the heavens. We are seated in him in heavenly places. And we can rejoice in that. And in the midst of our carnality and unconformity to what's true in him, we cast that anchor out behind the veil. You know, it's like, "Lord, I see all this junk in me, but I'm throwing my anchor behind the veil where it is finished. Until this conforms to that. Until this glory takes on that glory." That's the end God's after. But that takes a true dying in us. A true embracing of the cross. A true working of the Lord. You know, we can embrace the cross. And we have to. And then there's a time where the Lord gives the cross. Where the Lord says, "Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar." You know, we walk step for step with the Lord, you know, and the little things and everything. And then once in a while, the Lord brings something that it's like, "If this can't pass unless I drink it, Lord, your will be done." You know, and all these things, God's end is more life. Jesus in Gethsemane didn't really want to go to the cross. You know, I mean, he did, but his soul, his humanity at that time sweat blood. I mean, he prayed 3 times, "Lord, if there's any way, if there's any other way that we can get what we're after, if there's any other way but this." And then he said, "But if there isn't, you know, not my will, but thine be done." And there wasn't. And there's not for us. You know? And that's not a gloom thing. He looked to the glory set before him. He looked, what's that? He looked to the life. He looked to the body that he was going to have, us. And now he looks to that body just as he, with the Father, looked down on his creation and said, "What's it missing? We need to fill it with life." It was of God, created by God, created by the hand of God. But he said, "It needs something else. Fill it with life." You know? And that's what he's after in us. Anyway, the Bible school. Let me get this said. I came here after I graduated high school. I lived with Kelly for a month. I needed to. I wasn't quite ready for Bible school right out the chute. I needed to detox spirit, soul, and body. And that happened. Well, one night Kelly came home and she shared the cross with me. And she came home and just shared the cross. You know, "You're dead. Christ," you know, just real simple. And I thought she had just heard this. Like she had just come from somewhere. Like I didn't realize in all my visits down here and all her prior sharing with me that this is what she'd been saturating in, that the life of this is what I saw in her that drew me to the Lord. And I was like, "Kelly, do you realize that this is it? This is what God wants." I mean, the light went on. And I think the next day or something, she's like, "Man, I've been sharing this with you since you were 8 years old." And I just, "What? No, you weren't." Uh-uh. I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure she was. You know, it's the only Jesus she's known. Anyway, so, you know, I came to Bible school and I appreciated Brother Harold sharing about, you know, the married couple where, you know, they turn the light on and then the wife goes and turns it off and they have an argument. Well, if you want to learn the Lord in that way, you don't have to be married. You can come to Accelerated Christian Training School. We will provide you a roommate who will grind your flesh. And he will either embrace the cross or kick them. All right, you know, whatever. Or both. Probably both. Probably both over 3 years. You'll do it all. But if you want the Lord, you'll get them, a lot of them. I mean, this place is just geared towards saturating in Christ, and not just the message, not just the teaching and the tapes and all that, but just the lifestyle of it. Well, let's open up to John here. John 12. I don't know if Randy used this verse yesterday or not. I was paying attention, but I was just kind of seeking the Lord about what to share. Randy just asked me to last night, and I was going to share something else, and this verse caught my eye, and let's see what the Lord has here. 12:37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Stopping there, I mean, I thought about that. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now I'm thinking, if one of y'all stands up, and this room is full of lepers, blind people, people with sickness, and you get up and heal all of them, I'm going to probably believe what you have to say, unless I sense like a demon on you or something, you know. But though he had done so many miracles before him, yet they believed not on him. I just have a hard time believing that they didn't believe about him. This guy just healed multitudes. Obviously, he's a healer. Obviously, he's got something from the Lord going on in him, something from God. Yet they believed not on him. Well, then I had the thought, maybe they did believe he was a healer from God. Maybe they did believe he was a great prophet. Maybe they did believe he was Isaiah or whatever. Maybe they did believe he was from the Lord. But the question is, who is Jesus? You know, he is a healer. I mean, he heals. That's what he does. He does prophesy. He does those things. But who is he? Verse 38, they believed not on him that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? What is that report? What is the arm of the Lord? Randy talked about it. It's the Lamb. The strength, the power of God was demonstrated at the cross. Ultimate, what seems as human weakness and defeat is the greatest display in all of eternity of the power of God. The arm of the Lord, the strength of his government, the Lamb. They did not believe on him. They did not believe on the Lamb. Maybe they believed in the healer. Maybe they believed in the great prophet. Maybe they believed, maybe they believed Messiah, whatever. They did not believe on him whom Isaiah was talking about, who Randy was talking about yesterday, the Lamb of God. And it doesn't even, you know, say, yeah, they believe some things about him, but they did not believe that he was the Lamb. It just says, yet they believe not on him. And to me, that says something of the Lord's heart. He wants to be seen for who he is. He's saying, I don't care that they believed I'm a miracle man from God. I don't care that they believe I'm the great gift giver from heaven. I want them to know me for who I am. They did not believe on me, on who I am, on who everything I do comes out from who I am. All the rivers flow out of the throne of the Lamb. They did not believe on me. Maybe they took rank and they attributed names to me and created me in their own carnal mind and said, this is Jesus and this is Jesus because of what he did for them. But they never pressed through to see who he was, who he truly was, who he wants to be known as. They did not believe on me, you know. And everything that Jesus does was to bring those people into himself and into who he was. And then they missed it. You know, I don't want to miss it. There's enough people out there missing it. There's, my God, there's, you know, his whole church is missing it because they look at something that's of God and they say, well, this is of God. You know what? It is of God. God, it's like they fed, he says, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness for 40 years and died. Manna was of God. You know, manna came down from heaven of God. Now, if that happened nowadays, we'd resurrect the whole denomination around it and select, you know, portions of scripture and say, this is God, and this is who God is, and this is what God does, because we have this one aspect from God. But Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, not things from God. Not things that I do we're not supposed to feed off of. I am the bread of life. I want you to feed on me. I want you to feed on who I am. I want you to believe on the Lamb. I want you to believe it into you. Not just believe. Now these words say on him, but not at him. How about that? Not at the Lamb as something separate, but on him. Because the Lamb is separate. The Lamb is separate from us and gets to heaven, I guess. You know? I mean, Jesus being the Lamb of God and just dying for me will get me into heaven. But, and you know, he does that. He gives. Man, when you love the Lord and it's not enough to get your own and you want him to get his, Jesus just saving you just ain't enough. So what do you do for God? Ministry, I guess. Kelly sang a song, says, do this for me. Well, we'll get into that. You know, again, if it's a separate mentality from God, God in heaven, God sending gifts, this thing, and I love the Lord, and I want the Lord, you know, because this message ain't people who don't want the Lord, and we shouldn't put it on them. It ain't for Christians who are okay being self-centered, you know, and just getting their gifts from God. We just need to let them be. You know, the cross, like I was talking to Doug, he's like, I don't pray this stuff on people. We don't want it. Man, we don't need to do that. We don't need to beat people over the head with the cross just because it's the truth. You know what I mean? Let them be blessed. Bless them. Be Jesus to them. And maybe they'll be drawn to the light. Maybe someday they'll get sick of their carnality and see life in you and say, the God that I know just ain't... The God that I know that just exists to feed my flesh just isn't, the manna isn't cutting it anymore. It didn't for the children of Israel in the wilderness, you know, and God let them go in circles until they got to that place of dissatisfaction, but they should have turned to him. But Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Eat of me, you know, and people are drawn to the light. Like I said, I'm following the Lord today because I was drawn to the light in somebody else. Let's go to Hebrews 3, 9 and 10. And in verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So we had these people who have seen the Lord's works, but they don't know his ways. It's like these people who saw the miracles of God, but they didn't believe on him. They saw his works, but they have not known his ways. They didn't know the Lamb. The Lord's heart is that we know the Lamb, that we know him as oneness, that we be his body, that Christ, we partake of him as life and be the expression of him. Partaking with him in oneness, knowing his ways. Jesus says, I am the way. And he is the way in us. The way, the truth, the life. Saw my works, 40 years. Well, we can, you know, we can even see the work of the cross and just know the truth of it and not know his ways. Because just knowing the doctrine of the cross is not knowing the way of the cross. Because in God's mind, knowing the way of the cross has nothing to do with your head knowledge. I mean, he separates sheep from goats. It's not... It's not, you know, it's not, what do you know about Jesus? It's, are you one? And we are one in that, you know, in the heavenly thing. But again, is it enough just to be, just for that to be true and this not to be? You know, brother said, you know, I don't want to get up here and say this stuff and be a hypocrite. Well, I don't want God to show me this stuff in the Word and be a hypocrite, not, you know, and not live it and not have a heart to live it. It's not a walk of perfection, but it's a walk of loving not our lives unto the death. You know, just in the everyday things. You know, just when it comes to what I normally function by, whatever that be, greed, jealousy, self-interest, self-satisfaction, self-pleasing, that I love his life unto my own death. And that I lay down my life, and it's not that my works make something happen, it's that his works made everything happen. And I just say, yes, Lord. You know? I just say, yes, Lord, to that, and I just... You lay down. You lay it down at his cross. You lay it down in the grave, and you leave it there. And it's not that me holding my tongue or casting down a thought is changing me. It's that... his cross has changed me, and I'm just going to walk in agreement with him. And by his grace, he will reveal his son in me, and the Holy Spirit will make this more and more real, not just to me, but in me. And life will increase. Life will increase. It will. We can be assured of that. You know, the junk that we go through, that the Lord puts in our lives for us to go through, if we be with him in it, man, and he's patient with us, and it's not that we got to be super saints through things. If it's even in, you know, in our weakness and inability, we say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus wasn't like standing on top of a mountain, like the Mount of Transfiguration, glowing and beaming, saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Some great victory. Man, he was in Gethsemane in weakness. Extreme weakness, extreme anguish, sweating blood. Ain't none of us sweat blood here. You know, one of the Gospels says that he was walking in front of him and he just fell down. I mean, I've never been so disturbed over something that I just fall down. That I just like, you know what? And just drop, you know. I mean, he in weakness said, Lord, I want the life that's going to come out of this. And that was enough. You know, I mean, he had to go to the cross. But so do we. You know, it's not about huge victorious moments of faith. It's, Lord, I hate this. I don't want to go through it. I hate seeing myself, but I can't stand being wronged. I want to just defend myself so bad. It feels like nothing would satisfy me more than just to speak in self-defense. I know I'm in the right. I could take this thing to court and win or whatever, but in my heart of hearts, I want you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus, and against everything in my own will, I'm going to hold my tongue and just be with you. And just be with you. And your Holy Spirit's going to have to come and change me. Your Holy Spirit's going to have to come in and do the work. You're just going to have to grow in me, Lord, because I can't stay like this forever. I can't, you know, he's got to increase in us. Because, and it says he's not going to leave us orphans. He's not going to leave you in that state. He's not going to leave me in that state of just this, I'm so weak and utterly helpless and this is all I have, Lord Jesus. That's just the first step. The end of this is the salvation of our souls. Of that, when we get hit, when we revile not. We turn the other cheek. You know, we release life. We manifest Jesus. That's the end of it. You know, and it will happen. It will happen. It's happening in our lives. And I know I'm talking to a lot of people way further down the road than I am. But if anything, I'm talking to myself here in faith, in the face of my own carnality. It will happen because I trust my Father. I trust my Father. He's a good Father. He fathers us. He knows what we need. He puts everything in our lives that we need to know Jesus like we told him we want to. You know, like we told him we want to. And he takes us at that. And he says, you want a fellowship with me and my son? Well, this is what it will take. So I'm going to start moving the pieces, moving the props around. And the cross is going to come. And you're going to squirm. And it's going to hurt real bad. And you're going to ask that this cup be taken away from you. But I'm going to leave you bound on that altar until the work's done. Because I see something in your heart that says, I want Jesus more than I want my own life. You know, and even that's the heart he's put in us, the seed in us, the faith of the Son of God in us that remains through those times. Let's go to John 6. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everyone which seeth and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. They saw his works 40 years and fell in the wilderness. They saw Jesus did many miracles and they believed not on him. This believing, I believe that the Lord's talking about here, is more than just faith for simple salvation. More than just, I believe the message of the cross. More than just nodding our head at it, knowing that it's right, you know, when it's preached. The faith that he's after is a life-changing faith. Is a life-changing. The believing that he's after is an embracing, a partaking of him. Verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That sounds a lot like verse 40. Who seeth and believeth will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. He's saying, let me illustrate this a little more clearer for you. Because we can just believe things. You know, Judaism, they believed in God way far off, you know, and were just religious. They believed that the Messiah was coming. We can just believe in Jesus way far off. We can just believe in the cross that it's true. But he's saying, let me be more specific about what I mean by when I want you to believe this. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Can you get any more intimate or graphic than that? You know, I want you to believe on me. Oh, we do believe you, Jesus. Who do you say that I am, Peter? Oh, you're the Christ. I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Yeah, I'll die for you. You know, and he denies him three times. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. This is the faith that he's after. A faith that takes and eats. Gets it on the inside. Not just the feeding of the head knowledge, but when it hits the fan, you partake of the Lord's table. David said, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I got to believe the Lamb was on that table. That the body of Christ was on that table. It wasn't just nourishment to get him through the dark times. It was oneness with Jesus. In the presence of my enemies, of my flesh, the Lord has prepared a table. Then it's his flesh and it's his blood. You know, this intimate believing, this intimate faith. And if it's not that, the ethereal stuff, the just, you know, the message of the cross rings true to me, and it's new and it's exciting, and this is what God has. That ain't that ain't gonna cut it when the rubber meets the road, man. You know, when you get slapped in the face, when you get reviled, you know, when you're cursed, when you're persecuted, when you're just, how about just wronged? How about just the stuff that Brother Sue was talking about? Just the little things. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I came here for 3 years and saturated in the cross. By the Spirit of God, see the cross and the Word, have my brother wrong me and react in a wrong spirit and defend myself. It wasn't enough. It's not enough. It's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough even for the Holy Spirit to show it to me in the Word. I have to embrace this so that it gets on the inside of me. God, He doesn't... Jesus chose the cross, you know? However far we want to go with the Lord, He's going to take us there, you know? He'll open our eyes to see this. He'll show it to us in the Word. He'll let us saturate in it. But then we have to embrace it when it gets uncomfortable for us, when it gets personal, when the cross just gets up close and personal, man. It got that way for Jesus. Oh my goodness. Ripped His flesh apart. Separated Him from the Father. Talk about personal. Forget his bleeding body. Excuse me. Forget that. Imagine the relationship being broken. That will never be the same again. The relationship that He had with His Father is still no more. He lives in us now. We are His body. It's not just God and Jesus in heaven from eternity past like it was. And now He created carnal humanity and then went back to the Father to have what He had and to save us. I could think of a better plan than that. I mean, come on. What's the point? Imagine the fellowship of the Father and the Son in heaven. And they say, hey, you know what? Let's make an earth. And let's make man in our own image. And you had to know God knew they were going to fall. And man, because our life isn't in Him, is going to fall. And He's going to fill the earth with violence. And then Jesus, my only beloved Son, I'm going to send you down there into their hands, let you be crucified, separated from me, and then come back and we'll have what we have right now again, but we'll just bring the carnal humans up here with us. Is that, are you kidding me? I mean, come on. That's the gospel I heard at first. I mean, you start thinking about it. God, what? What are you doing? Are you serious? Why didn't you make us like superhumans? Why not just make us angels? I mean, why? Why? You got to ask yourself why. I mean, it's kind of a serious thing. We're talking about our existence. Why? God, did you leave that for this? Why? He filled the sea with life. He filled the sky with life. He filled the earth with life. And now He has a place to manifest. He didn't get to lay His life down for the Father in heaven, but He can now through us. The most beautiful thing in the universe, the Lamb of God, can now be expressed every day in this earth. Praise God. Huh? I mean, come on. This isn't just exclusive now. God in heaven and us in earth. It's not even a coming Messiah. It's now, behold, the tabernacle of God with men. In men. The dwelling of God in men. His bride lives here. The Lamb lives here. We are the body of Christ. We're so used to that. That just means the church on the corner. No, no. We are the body of Jesus, the person. And now, and now He has a place to live in the earth. But not just live like Jesus is hid in my heart. Now He has a place to live His life out, to be expressed. It says He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But before the foundation of the world, it was who He was. Chance turned the other cheek then, did he? There's nobody slapping Him there. God ain't gonna slap. There was no chance for expression. He has that now. He has that now. He is the Lamb. It's who He is. He wants to say, this is who I am. And I shine the brightest in darkness. The Lamb shined the brightest hanging from the cross. When He looked down on the people who were crucifying and said, Father, forgive them. You know, the Father was just like, that's it right there. That's it. I'm going to take that life and put it in these people. And now I'm going to have a multitude that will be this, that will have this very life in them. And it's going to be a corporate thing. And I'm going to fill the whole earth with the glory of the Lord. You know, the light shines, man. It's Him. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. In you. In you. No life in you. He wants life in us. On the inside. Well, I got saved. I got Jesus on the inside of me. Oh, but life. And His mind is always towards fullness of life. Not just driving the seed of Christ's salvation in you and then bearing it with your carnality. It's to grow and to fill and to expand. Life. Let's go to Luke 22. All right, to, let's see. 14. And when the hour was come, He sat down, and the 12 apostles with Him. In this hour, Jesus talks a lot about the hour. He said, for this hour I've come. This hour is the cross. And when the hour was come, He sat down with the 12 apostles, and the 12 apostles with Him. And He said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now He's about to go die. He's taken His 12 apostles, not even the 70 disciples, not the multitudes, He's taken His 12, and He's saying, with you who have been closest to me, who've been with me these 3 years, who've heard all the teachings, seen all the miracles, I have something for you here. This isn't just like the Passover we've eaten the previous years. The hour and power of darkness has come. The time when the Son of God will be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and crucified has come. The hour when the Lamb of God is going to lay down His life for the world has come. And we're going to go eat this Passover. The Lamb Himself, the Passover Lamb, in which all other lambs represent Him, saying, listen, we're going to eat this Passover. And I just with great desire that I want to eat this with you before I suffer. I want to tell you something that's on my heart. I want you to know something before I go to the cross. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Kelly sang the song, do this for me. Well, how many of y'all want to do something for Jesus? Everybody, you know? Everyone who like really gets saved, they want to do something for the Lord. You know, and that usually interprets into things. Jesus is saying, listen, do this for me. Keep all your other stuff. Do this. If you do one thing for me, do this for me. This is my body. Eat it. Take this cup. It's my blood of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they took the blood and they sprinkled it on everything. It was all on. Moses, after speaking all the words of the Old Testament, took blood and said, "This is the blood of the testament of our God," and he sprinkled it on the people and on all the vessels. It was all on them, you know. We can come to a conference and just get sprinkled on. God don't, that's Old Testament. I don't care if we're up here talking about the cross. If it's just sprinkling on and we're not partaking, it's still Old Covenant. Jesus didn't say, "This is the blood of the New Testament," and splash it in their face. Pour a little bit on your heads. He's saying, take this and drink it. Take this body, my body. He broke it. Eat it. If you do anything for me, do this. Eat. Partake of my life. Don't settle for the head knowledge. Don't settle for the exterior. Don't settle for things of God. Don't settle for the message of the cross. Don't settle for anything less than my life in you. Nothing less, no matter what the cost. And he can ask us no matter what the cost, because he went and paid the ultimate cost. And so did the apostles, you know, after they had that life in them. Do this for me. And man, I mean, I don't know what else to say, you know. Let's just pray, you know, and just get before the Lord. I don't know. I don't want to add, you know, just start making up stuff or whatever. Y'all came here to hear the Lord, and I believe this is the Lord's heart. I believe it is. I believe he wants us to partake in this way. To partake in oneness. What does it mean that we eat and that we drink of him? Amen. Lord, Father. Oh, Father. Nothing we could go through, Father, could compare to the sacrifice that you gave, Father. To get this. To get Christ in us. Lord, you did it all to get Christ in us for a greater expression of him. Lord, not to inflate our heads, not to sprinkle his blood on us. Lord, for it'd be a waste then and we'd remain ourselves, but to get his life in us. Father, governed by the Lamb, that our tongues be moved by the nature of the Lamb, Lord. That our reactions flow from the throne of the Lamb. That the Lamb would not just sit on the throne in heaven, but on our hearts. Father, Father, who are we to even attain to such things? Father, we can't. We can't. We, all men, run. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, we're no different, Father. We're just earthen vessels, Father. We're just weak. We need Jesus. We want Jesus in this way. We pray for your grace and mercy on us, Father, that we might partake of life in this way, Father. Of life in this way, Father. Oh, Lord. Lord, for those who love you, Father, and want you in this way, don't let them settle for anything less. Don't let up on them, Father. Don't let up on them, Holy Spirit. Let them know if they're settling for something less, for head knowledge, for just illumination in the Word, for just good teaching. Let them know. Bring them deeper, Jesus, even as you would bring your bride in deeper. Even as you would take your bride up in your arms and say, "This is of me, but it's just short of my heart. Let me show you." Lord. Yes, Jesus. We just bless you, Jesus. You're worth it, Lord. You're worth it. You're worth it. Lord, we don't realize how much we love ourselves until we're faced with your cross, Lord. Oh, but Jesus, you always go. You go, Jesus. My God, we just rely on Christ in us to even know you in this way. Father, may we embrace Christ in this way. May we partake of the bread and the wine, the body and the blood, Lord. Amen.
They're blessed. Praise God. Well, there are a lot of young, smiling faces around this place. Most of them have gone through the Bible school. They have given their life to Jesus, not just for 3 years, but to know Him and to show Him. We have a banner that we usually have around here that says, come to know Him, go to show Him, to demonstrate His Spirit, His nature. And, we can all, I personally felt, well, I could just sit somewhere and know Jesus and be happy with that. But I just thought, we need another generation to come up. We need a whole new generation of young people that are filled with the reality of the Lamb, with the life of Christ. And it's wonderful that Watchman Nee knew the Lord. It's wonderful T. Austin Sparks knew the Lord. But folks, we need to know the Lord. And then we need to make sure that the legacy continues. I know I have raised my children to know the living Christ. But the truth is, I could teach them everything perfectly from the Word, but unless their heart turns to the Lord, doesn't do any good at all. I'm glad to say their heart did turn to the Lord, and I'm very proud of them, but as well as Ben and others, all the people that we have here, and they're not all as young as Ben. You know, Timothy shared on the first day, and he's a graduate, and his wife, and others that have come here, Jimmy and Kay being around the Word here for years and years and years, and so many. I'm just, it's not a good word to use, but I'm going to use, I'm proud of them. You know? Well, let me read one final scripture and we will close out. It's, in fact, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you because I'm going to change one word from I to we. But if you want to know where it is for later reference, it's going to be out of Song of Solomon 2:3, and it says this. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. We sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to our taste. We have had memorable days of feasting here at this conference. Amen. Praise God. And of course, the conference is over, but as far as an event, it's over, but it will never really be over if it is a continuation of the living, vibrant furtherance of Christ as life. See, because we can either just make this an event called Christ is Life, or this can be the springboard to continue to be a furtherance of Christ as life in the earth. Praise God. The Holy Spirit has been gracious to us, hasn't He? He's lifted the veil of human dullness, and He's allowed us to peer into the face of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Eternity will declare the results, the full results of what has taken place in this gathering as we look to Jesus and our hearts are toward Him. Shall we stand together and just close with a word of prayer? May I remind you that some people will still continue to be around here and fellowshipping will still continue for several days. Brother Albert will also be sharing just as the Lord leads, and some times we'll be having together. So don't get into conference mode where, oh, the conference is over, therefore I don't, you know, need to be in tune with the Lord. Please be in tune with one another and prepare to fellowship and to share and to minister to one another, to pray for one another, to do whatever it is that the Lord would lead you to do, that we might continue the furtherance of His life among us. Father, we thank You for Jesus, most precious Son, to You. And as we learn not just Jesus, not just His own beauty, but as we learn His preciousness to You, Father, we find a preciousness beyond one who meets our needs. We find a preciousness about Him beyond the one who touches our lives and make our lives better. We find a preciousness that You see in Him when He never ministered to You in the way of ministry, as we call it. He never met any need for You based on failure. You just love Him, and You've seen and You desire the beauty of the Son. Father, may we see Him not just through our own eyes and through our own needs. May we see Him as You see Him. Father, I thank You for the knitting that You have begun here, so that we not just be believers of the truth in various locations, but that we be knit together, Father, as was the intent of Jesus when He died and rose again. And that knitting together, Lord, that building up of the body of Christ, that building of the church, be an avenue and a facilitator of reaching many other people. For there are many that sit in darkness that long to see this great light that is Christ as life, the light of life. And so, Father, we pray not just for the meetings we've had, but we pray for all of those that are waiting, that are longing, that know there's something more. They know it. They don't see it around them, but they believe that there's something more of You that's more real and more powerful and more filling than eating cotton candy every day. So, Father, we pray for them. May Your Spirit be loosed in their direction now. May You use many of these here, Lord, to reach them, to share, to open their mouth and share, Lord, even as Ben did, who surely said, how can I share in a conference like this? Lord, we just open our mouth and You fill it. May we trust in You and not in ourselves. May we not look at the worthiness of the vessel, but the Lamb who is worthy. May we trust in resources beyond our own. May we live Christ as life, and may the fruit of that bring glory to You, Father, through the Son. Jesus' name. Amen. Well, why don't you, we can clap to the Lord. Thank You, Lord.